This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We need to take from this life what gives us the most in the hereafter. Okay. Now, this also means that this life is nothing but a means to the hereafter. The real success is what? Is the success of the hereafter. Now, what can we take from the dunya? We should take from the dunya what helps us to gain that success in the hereafter. So, as individuals and as societies, what does that mean? It also means that as individuals, we should be worried about what leads us or what gives us the maximum in the hereafter. We should not be worried about anything in the dunya for the sake of the dunya. This is the best scenario. This is the best form. This is the best model. And anything other than that model, either it is prohibited or it is a deception that we will regret it in the hereafter. Either it is a haram or maybe it is not a haram, but you are wasting your time. So we should take from this dunya what leads us to the maximum in the hereafter. What does that mean? Let me just mention it again in a different way. Me as an individual, a human being, I need to eat and drink. In order to eat and drink, I need to what? To get some money. How can I get the money? Either I beg people or I what? I work in order to what? In order to get money to feed myself. So, if I work with the intention to feed myself and to stop myself from begging others, because Allah hates those who beg, be careful with this intention, because Allah hates those who beg, and it is not a decent attitude for Muslim to beg people. So I need to work in order to what? In order to live, because Allah created me as a living being and it is haram upon me to harm myself. So working will be an act of ibadah with this intention. And I can work in the dunya because now I am satisfying a goal in the akhirah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نحمده حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه ونصلي عليه الخير كله ونثني عليه الخير كله ونصلي ونسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد Dear respected brothers, sisters, dear everyone, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Peace be upon all of you. The topic is a very important topic. The topic is balancing between the two wings, between this life and the hereafter. My dear respected brothers and sisters, I believe that it is a very fundamental topic for Muslims and non-Muslims. And as Muslims in particular, we need to understand this topic carefully. Otherwise, if we do not understand it, we will miss the balance and we will go to one of the of two extremes. And I think understanding this topic motivates us to do the right thing. Not only to do the right thing, but also to do the right thing at the right time. And unfortunately, we see many brothers and sisters, because of misunderstanding of this topic, they don't do the right thing at the right time. And as you know, from a management perspective, they say that the correct thing can happen when you do the right thing, not just you do the right thing, because you might do the right thing, but at the wrong time. You need to do the right thing at the right time. And once we understand the relationship between this life and the hereafter, and the balance between the dunya and the akhirah, this life and the second life, then this will enable us to do the right thing at the right time, inshallah. My dear respected brothers and sisters, in order to understand this topic, we need to understand a few points. Let me summarize them in two or three main points. The first point is the reality of this life. The reality of this life. The second point is how Allah Jalla wa'ala spoke about the second life in the Quran. How Allah Jalla wa'ala spoke about the second life in the Quran. And the third point is what do we do? What do we do? Okay. Let us talk about the first point, which is what? The reality of this life. My dear respected brothers and sisters, in order to know the reality of this life, we as Muslims take everything from the Quran and Sunnah, and let us go to the Quran and Sunnah and see the reality of this life or the purpose of this life. Before that, just one point, as there are or there might be some non-Muslims here, we need to reconfirm a fact that the life of the human being is divided mainly into two parts: life before death and life after death. This life, our life, is not limited to life before death. Our life is of two parts: life before death, and then death is nothing but a gate that we pass through it from the first life to the second life. Now, some non-Muslims might not believe that there is a second life. This is another discussion beyond the scope of this lecture. We are taking it for granted that there are two lives: life before death and life after death. And this is the topic that we are addressing: how to balance or to get the balance between the first life and the second life. For us as Muslims, the akhirah, the definition of the akhirah, is anything that comes after death. Whether the life in the barzakh, in the grave, or the life after we are resurrected from our graves. The akhirah of the person starts when he dies. That's why many scholars define death as the move from the life of the dunya to the life of the akhirah. This is the definition of death. It is not the end of the life. You rarely find Muslim scholars defining death as the end of the life. They always define it as the gate that you, or the minute you move from this life to the second life. The second life includes, as we said, two main stages: life in the grave and life after the grave. So this is the discussion that we are talking about. Now, once we talk about the reality of this life and the meaning of this life as it is clarified in the Quran and the Sunnah, we take it from the Quran and Sunnah, because we as Muslims take from Quran and Sunnah everything. We see that Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned the purpose of life in number of verses in the Quran. One of the verses is the famous verse in Surah Tabarak. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. The one who created death and life. الذي خلق الموت والحياة. Why he created death and life means he created everything in this life for one purpose, which is what? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, in order to test you. So the whole purpose of this life according to this verse is what? To test you. So we will be tested. Also we read also in Surah Al-Insan, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. We have created the human being from a nutfa, from a drop of sperm, and then we made him into tissues in order to test him. Nabtalihi means the whole creation or the creation of the human being is for nothing but to test him. Nabtalihi. Either we say the purpose is to test him or his life, all of it will be what? A test. And both meanings lead to one reality, which is what? This life is nothing but a test. Also, we read also another verse in Surah Hud, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, created heavens and earth, and his throne was above water, in order to test you. So the purpose is what? Is to test you. There are many verses in the Quran that confirm this reality. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, the reality of this life, the whole purpose of this life is to test human beings. Nothing but that. Which means that Allah Jalla wa'ala did not create human being and send them to this life for them to enjoy this life, for them to do something else other than fulfilling the test. What is the result of the test? The result of the test was clarified in another verse when Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Very profound verse or verses. Allah Jalla wa'ala said, I have not created jinn and ins except for one purpose, which is what? To worship me. I don't need them to provide me any provision. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. I am just testing them. This is the whole purpose. Is what? To test them whether they are going to worship me or they are going to go against my will, to be disobedient to me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam realized this fact and he passed it to us. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma ana wad dunya illa ka'abirin or kamusafir. Marra bi dhilli shajaratin fastadhalla tahta thumma qama fatarakaha." I am nothing, my example and the example of the dunya is nothing but a passerby who passed by a tree and he just sat for a while to rest in order to keep going for his final destination. So he was just living there temporarily under that tree in order to take provision for the rest of the journey. And this is a profound hadith that summarizes the whole lecture. And we will elaborate on this, inshallah, a little bit more. Okay, so the reality of this life is a test. This is the conclusion of the first point. Now, let us move to the second point. How Allah Jalla wa'ala described this life in the Quran. My dear respected brothers and sisters, go and read the whole Quran. Or maybe search Al-Hayati Dunya fil Quran. Go to any one of those websites that you can search words in the Quran and look for al-hayati dunya in the entire Quran. You will not see that Allah Jalla wa Ala ever praised al-hayati dunya in the Quran. It is not there. Allah Jalla wa Ala did not praise it. You will see that either Allah Jalla wa Ala said that it is a test, or Allah Jalla wa Ala said it is, or most of the places of the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala says that al-hayati dunya is nothing but la'ibun wa lahwun. Or Allah Jalla wa Ala is saying, is comparing between al-hayati dunya and al-hayati al-akhira, and Allah Jalla wa Ala says, and al-hayati al-akhira is far better. In some places, Allah Jalla wa Ala clearly says that al-hayati dunya is nothing but a fitna. And in other places, Allah Jalla wa Ala, in very few other places, Allah Jalla wa Ala says that al-hayati dunya is nothing but, or al-hayati dunya, Allah Jalla wa Ala created many halal things in al-hayati dunya for you to benefit from. So, the conclusion is, Allah Jalla wa Ala never praised al-hayati dunya. Subhanallah. Allah Jalla wa Ala created us to live in this life, and Allah Jalla wa Ala did not praise al-hayati dunya. Yes, this is a reality. This means that Allah Jalla wa Ala looks at al-hayati dunya in a particular way, looks at this life in a particular way. For example, we see that Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. There are a few other verses that are similar to this. This verse in Surah Al-An'am. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. This life is nothing but amusement. Is a matter of what? لَعِبْ وَلَهُ, amusement. You just play in it. And وَلَدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, the reality is الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, the second life is better for those who fear Allah Jalla wa Ala. Also, we read the very famous verse in Surah Al-Hadid when Allah Jalla wa Ala says, اِعْلَمُوا. Know, you need to know that this hayat al-dunya is nothing but a la'ibun wa lahwun wa zinatun wa tafakhurun baynakum wa takathurun fil amwali wal awlad. كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. No, that this life is nothing but a لعب, amusement, لعب وله. You just enjoy, play in it, amusement. And زينة, adornment. And تَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. Everyone is boosting himself in this life, is proud of something in this life. وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Everyone is boosting himself because of his wealth, or his children, or what he has. And all of this is nothing but like the rain. When it falls, then the farmers will be pleased with the plants. And then this plant, after it grows, it finishes, and then it will render, or it will become what? It will become yellow, and then it will become basically nothing. It will be hutam. Hutam means it will become like a dust. When it becomes dry, it becomes yellow, then it becomes like a dust that can be blown by the wind easily. Then Allah Jalla wa Ala says, be careful. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. In the Akhirah, there is what? There is عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, severe punishment. And also there is maghfirah and pleasure from Allah Jalla wa Ala. And then Allah Jalla wa Ala concluded this ayah by saying, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This life is nothing but what? A deception. So we see in this verse and so many other verses that when Allah Jalla wa'ala speaks about the life or this hayat al-dunya, He is describing it as a deception. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Also we read another verse in Surah Ali Imran. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Each soul is tasting death one time. The end of each life is what? Is death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You will get the result of what you used to do when? In the day of resurrection. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. The reality of the whole test is what? Is nothing but if you are kept away from the fire of hell, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ and granted paradise, فَقَدْ فَازْ. He has been successful. And what after that? وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Yes, and this life is nothing but a deception. This verse of Surah Ali Imran, my dear respected brothers and sisters, serves like principles or even a selection of laws, a very important selection of laws. Allah Jalla Ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. This is act number one, or this is law number one, law of this life, number one. Then, law number two, after that, when Allah Jalla Ala, after saying, كل نفس ذائقة الموت, then what is the result? Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Second point, you will get the results of the test at the day of resurrection. Then law number three is what? فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. Law number four is this life is nothing but a test. So if we and we can go on and on explaining those verses that talk about this life as nothing but a deception. Also we see that Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ. ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. It was made beautiful for human beings. زُيَّلِنَا النَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Loving the desires were made pleased for them. This is their pleasure in this dunya. مِنَ النِّسَاءِ زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة etc. Allah Jalla Ala described the different pleasures in this dunya, and Allah Jalla Ala said that they were made zina, adornment for human beings in this life. Then Allah Jalla Ala concluded by saying, after saying والأنعام والحرث, ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. This is nothing but متاع for حياة الدنيا. This is just the properties of the dunya, the temporary properties of the dunya that will come to an end soon. ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. And والله عنده حسن المآب. The final abode. Yes, the final abode lies with Allah Jalla wa'ala, and the real final abode lies with Allah Jalla wa'ala. Okay. As I told you, we can go on and on describing how Allah Jalla wa'ala mentioned the dunya in this in the Quran. And the conclusion of the second point is that whenever Allah Jalla wa'ala describes this life in the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala does not speak or does not praise this life in the Quran. Allah Jalla wa Ala, in fact, dispraise this life in the Quran. And Allah Jalla wa Ala confirmed that it is a temporary life. Allah Jalla wa Ala also confirms that it is a test. Allah Jalla wa Ala confirms also that the final life or the second life is the real life. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You prefer the dunya, but the akhirah the life after death is what? Is eternal and is far better. Of course, this is for who? For those who won the final abode, or those who won the Akhirah. My dear respected brothers and sisters, after this, or after concluding the second point, that Allah Jalla wa'ala never praised this life in the Quran, and Allah Jalla wa'ala always praises the hereafter. In fact, Allah Jalla wa'ala did not give any weight for this life in the Quran. Did not give any weight this life in the Quran, for this life in the Quran. The only few verses that talk about this life in the Quran, maybe you can say, in where Allah Jalla wa'ala said that you can make use of it only, not even praising it. When Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا, He is the one who created everything for you in this earth. Another verse when Allah Jalla wa'ala says, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ, Ponder and reflect, travel in the corners of this life and eat from the provisions that Allah Jalla wa'ala has given you in this life. Also, many people quote the ayah when Allah Jalla wa'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Who is made what Allah Jalla wa'ala has given for human beings as halal, as bounties, as favors in this life, who is made them haram? قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ, and the halal rizq, the tayyib rizq. Say, this is for the believers in the dunya. Yes? To use them, not just as the, to enjoy them as the as they are enjoying the tayyibat, or as they are going to enjoy the tayyibat in the final abode. So it is a matter of using them. Okay. Now, and again, we can mention some of the verses that talk about how Allah Jalla wa'ala made what is in on this earth for us to use temporary while we are in this life. Now, the third point. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion, my dear respected brothers and sisters, can be summarized in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In one hadith, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the famous hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was angry with some of his wives, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he took an oath on himself not to visit them. And Umar ibn al-Khattab heard that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divorced his wives. So Umar ibn al-Khattab went to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam to discuss the matter with him. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I asked permission to go. And when I entered, I found that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on his bed. What was the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam? The bed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nothing but a skin. Okay? A skin of an animal. It is not a mattress that high. It is not like any of the luxury mattresses that we are using. It is not like, in fact, it is not a bed. And that's why the marks of that skin, or the marks of the bed, the wooden frame the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying on, had left the wooden frame had left some marks on the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which also shows something else, which shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying on the bed almost with his top uncovered, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have so many clothes. Subhanallah. Umar ibn al-Khattab also said, I have looked at the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I have not seen anything yaruddu al-ayn, means something that you will be satisfied with in the house of who? Of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was in Medina when Islam started to spread all over the peninsula, and when Islam started to attack other great nations at that time, the superpowers, and when Islam started to destroy the Persian Empire at that time. The life of the Prophet ﷺ at that time was what? He was lying on that frame, wooden frame, and he has nothing in his house. In one version of the hadith, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, I have seen nothing except what? Except the bow of the Prophet ﷺ and a shield. That's all. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was really touched by that reality that he has seen, affected by that. So he started to drop his tears. And then he said, Ya Rasulallah, the Persians and the king of the Romans, they are enjoying whatever they are enjoying, and they have this wealth. And Ya Rasulallah, you have nothing. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summarized the reality of this life, the reality of the whole thing, by saying to him, Ya Umar, don't you be satisfied. If Allah Jalla wa Ala gives them this life, and Allah Jalla wa Ala gives us the second life. That's all. This is the summary. And this summary can be mentioned, or this summary can be seen in so many of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you know, in one of the ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو كانت الدنيا تعدل عند الله جناح بعوضة ما سقى منها كافرا شربة ماء. If the dunya is equal to a wing of a mosquito, Allah Jalla wa Ala wouldn't give a sip of water to a disbeliever. Subhanallah. Which means that because of the dunya, the value of the dunya is nothing in the eyes of Allah Jalla wa Ala, Allah Jalla wa Ala is giving it what? To the disbelievers. Okay. This means what? This means, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that we need to take from the dunya what helps us to achieve the highest place in Jannah. We need to take from this life what gives us the most in the hereafter. Full stop. This is the summary of the whole lecture. We need to take from this life what gives us the most in the hereafter. Okay. Now, this also means that this life is nothing but a means to the hereafter. The real success is what? Is the success of the hereafter. Now, what can we take from the dunya? We should take from the dunya what helps us to gain that success in the hereafter. So, as individuals and as societies. As individuals and as societies. What does that mean? It also means that as individuals, we should be worried about what leads us or what gives us the maximum in the hereafter. We should not be worried about anything in the dunya for the sake of the dunya. This is the best scenario. This is the best form. This is the best model. And anything other than that model, either it is prohibited or it is a deception that we will regret it in the hereafter. Either it is a haram, or maybe it is not a haram, but you are wasting your time. So we should take from this dunya what leads us to the maximum in the hereafter. What does that mean? Let me just mention it again in a different way. Me as an individual, a human being, I need to eat and drink. In order to eat and drink, I need to what? To get some money. How can I get the money? Either I beg people or I what? I work in order to what? In order to get money to feed myself. So, if I work with the intention to feed myself and to stop myself from begging others, because Allah hates those who beg. Be careful with this intention, because Allah hates those who beg, and it is not a decent attitude for Muslim to beg people. So I need to work In order to what? In order to live, because Allah created me as a living being and it is haram upon me to harm myself. So working will be an act of ibadah with this intention. And I can work in the dunya because now I am satisfying a goal in the akhirah. Okay. I need to get married. Me as a person, I need to get married. Whether we say that this person is a male or a female. Let us talk about a male. Myself, I need to get married. So, in order to get married, I need to what? To have more money in order to provide for my wife. In order to go and propose to her. In order for her family to accept me. So I have to have a decent job for that purpose. Now, when I search for a decent job and I want a decent job, if I do it with that intention, because I need to get married, because I need to preserve and protect my chastity, then that work is an act of ibadah for me. Okay? We are moving slowly, slowly. Now, I might accept a small job and I might look for a better job. A better job will enable me to provide for my wife so she doesn't need to beg or she doesn't need to take from her family. So if I am looking for a decent job with that intention makes that job and my work towards that job, including my study, as an act of ibadah. And I have to do it. Okay, later on I got married. And I started to provide for my wife. My wife became pregnant. I have to improve maybe my situation in order to get more money. In order to what? In order to support my children. So I have to work maybe more to support my children. Okay? Now, if I do this with that intention, then that work is considered to be ibadah as well. Okay. Later on, I had the child. I had to spend time with that child. I have to buy some toys for the child. So when I go looking for some toys for the child, and maybe I'm taking him with me or her with me to select a toy in order for them to satisfy their childhood, in order for them not to go astray, that work that I am doing will be considered as an act of ibadah. I hope that it is clear. So when I buy a toy for my child, I am paying money which might be considered as a sadaqah. When I buy food for my wife, the Prophet ﷺ said that will be a sadaqah. And the Prophet ﷺ was asked or said that dirhamun تصدقت به ودرهم أنفقته على أهلك أيهما خير. The Prophet ﷺ said, the dirham, the money that you spend to support your wife, is the best of those dirhams, or the best of this money, because it is what? It is a mean to satisfy an end, and the end is what? To please Allah Jalla wa'ala by supporting your family, and this is your immediate responsibility. Okay, let us move. So when I go and take my son for a fun, or when I take my whole family for a fun, if I am doing it to satisfy one of them, to help them to be righteous people in order for them to get into the Jannah, then I am doing it as an act of ibadah. Now, if I do it more, for no purpose, then I am wasting my time. If I am doing it less, and I am unable to meet or to achieve the goal, which is what? To make them righteous people by spending on them, by playing with them, by enjoying time with them. If I am doing it less, and as a result of this, they are going astray, I will be sinful. Okay, and then you can carry on. So this is the life of individuals. Now, as societies, We as a Muslim community in the West, I'm not talking about a Muslim ummah, I'm talking about a Muslim community. We have to work hard in order to establish ourselves as Muslim communities in the West, in order to protect our identity, in order to be able to worship Allah Jalla wa Ala in a good way. So, in order to do this, we have to build the schools. So building schools will be what? Will be an act of ibadah. So if some of us were involved in business in order to get money, in order to finance school, so their business with that intention only is an act of ibadah, and they will be rewarded for it. Okay, let us move forward. We as a Muslim community, we need some representatives. And we need those representatives to take part maybe in the parliament or in the political process. So if we have some of the young people educated and studying politics and maybe involved in some political activities and later on promoted to be our MPs or our representatives before the government, this, if you take it in isolation from the from its purpose, will be a waste of time. But if you talk it, if you take it within the right context, it will be an act of ibadah. Is it clear? It will be an act of ibadah. So our involvement in the political process with that intention will be an act of ibadah. And the summary is, as individuals, whether males or females, when the wife, for example, looks after her husband, goes maybe into the marketplace in order to buy the best clothes for her husband. She wants to wear clothes to please her husband, to look maybe beautiful for her husband, to satisfy the needs for her husband. That while she's shopping in order to get the best clothes for her husband, that is an act of ibadah. Whenever she cooks a new meal for her husband and she knows that maybe her husband finds it really nice, then that is considered to be an act of ibadah for her. When she's doing this for her father, it is an act of ibadah as well. When she is doing it for her siblings, it is an act of ibadah as well, and so on. Okay? So this is dunya, but because of the intention, it became an act of ibadah. This is what the individuals. As communities, we need to protect our identity, and we need to flourish. Whatever we do, whether on a social level, on a political level, on a financial level, in order to achieve this, it will be considered as an act of ibadah as well. So while the person is doing some political activities, he might be doing an act of ibadah. The last thing is, we as a Muslim community, part of the Muslim ummah. So when we become politically active in order to support our brothers and sisters in Syria, in order to support our ummah at large, whatever we do, whether we write, whether we become politically active, whether we go in demonstrations or marches or do any other activism, then that is considered to be a part of ibadah with that in mind, with that intention. As you can see, my dear respected brothers and sisters, the summary is what? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that I am nothing but a passerby, passed by a tree. I need to continue my journey until the final destination. The final destination is the hereafter. In order to go to that final destination, I need to what? To rest, in order to take some provisions and to be ready to continue the journey. So if I do it and I rest to take that provision, not less, not more, in order to what? To achieve my final destination, then my presence in under that tree, my temporary presence under that tree is considered to be as an act of ibadah, not more, not less. I hope that I have clarified this controversial topic in a very simple way. I ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to accept it from us. I ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to guide us to the best. I ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to forgive our shortcomings. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.